either reserve. You're listening to leaders.com.
An Thawban radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qala rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam idha wudi'a as-sayfu fi ummati falam yurfa anha ila yawm al-qiyamah wa la taqumu as-sa'atu hatta talhaqu qaba'ilu min ummati bil mushrikeen wa ta'budu qaba'ilu min ummati al-awthan وإنه سيكون في أمتي كذابون ثلاثون كلهم يزعم أنه نبي الله وأنا خاتم النبيين لا نبي بعدي ولا تزال طائفة من أمتي ظاهرين على الحق لا يضرهم من خالفهم حتى يأتي أمر الله رواه أبو داود والترمذي أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم انفعنا ما علمتنا اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا آمين صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم Respected Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Sahab Damat Barakatuhum Friends and Elders I have recited one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us firm iman onto every ayat and every riwayat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us correct understanding of Quran and Sunnah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us correct mizaj of Quran and Sunnah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us that we obey whole Quran and Sunnah. We live and die practicing Quran and Sunnah. Hadith Sharif, I will translate the Hadith Sharif and the last part, inshallah, I will discuss about it because the noble work which is taking place by our honorable great scholar, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Sahab Damat Barakatuhum, Maulana Muhammad Sindhi Sahab Damat Barakatuhum, that is the work of Dawat. The last sentence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is related to his work. So let me translate the Hadith Sharif. Sauban radiallahu ta'ala who narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that once sword will be lifted or once sword will come in action, then it will not be kept back until the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all the disputes, from all the calamities, from all the troubles. First sentence. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said further that Qiyamah will not take place until some tribes from my ummah, they will get back to mushrikeen. They will join themselves to mushrikeen. Second sentence. Third sentence, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Qiyamah will not take place until some tribes of my ummah, they will start worshipping idols. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that in my ummah, there will be liars. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in my ummah, there will be liars. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned their figure, thalathun. There will be approximately 30. They will be liars. And what they will be lying? Nabi Sassam says, Kulluhum yaz'umu annahu nabiyullah. Everyone will claim that he is Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Sassam said, Ana khatamun nabiyyin ala nabiyya ba'di. I am the seal of all the prophets. There is no more prophet to come after me. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that. And then, very positive.
such a sentence which will make us breed positivity, which will keep our hope alive. Last sentence, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تزال طائفة من أمتي ظاهرين على الحق لا يضرهم من خالفهم حتى يأتي أمر الله. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and you know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from this jama'at. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from this group. The previous sentences which I have recited, it has so many connection to the days and the month which we are going through, month of Muharram. It has lot of connection, but we leaving all those sentences, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us understanding of whole Quran and Sunnah. Every letter of Quran and Sunnah and every letter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us its treasure. Today, Jummah time, we were talking about that unfortunately, we became immature. The whole ummah became immature. We want to introduce ourselves that I drive this car, or I own that many properties, or I possess this, or this is my CV. I have a degree in medicine, in law, in engineering, And that became like our introduction. When it was the time of Sahaba, the essence of their introduction was totally different. The essence of their introduction was totally different. You know, I quoted one incident. Let me share in brief. Hazrat Ji Maulana Yusuf Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, he was in Pakistan. And when he is in Pakistan, the people who were heavily involved into the work of Dawat and Tabligh, they made an endless effort to gather all the elite of Pakistan, all the ministers and all the administrators of Pakistan. After working very hard, they got them together, and now they presented them to Hazrat Ji Maulana Yusuf Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh. Before Hazrat Ji starts speaking, one of them gave an introduction that he is Minister of Finance, he is economy expert, he is Minister of Portfolio, and he is Minister of so and so. And they gave an introduction. And what they were looking for, that when Hazrat Ji will come to know that cream of Pakistan is in front of you, then you know what to speak. You know how to address them. That same person who gave an introduction, he said, Hazrat Ji Maulana Yusuf Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh started in such a bitter manner. That person said, I was taken aback because I was worried. You know, I made a lot of effort and somehow I got them all together, and that is how Hazrat Ji is treating them. So bitterly, so rudely, in a disrespecting manner. Hazrat Ji started by saying that just now some introduction was given, and that introduction entirely connected to animalhood. That's how he started speaking. And then he made it clear that a doctor can be a Muslim and non-Muslim. A millionaire can be a Muslim and non-Muslim. An engineer can be a Muslim and non-Muslim. A scientist can be a Muslim and non-Muslim. And then he said, when it was the time of Sahaba, whenever any Sahabi was introduced, it benchmark or foundation was only one. Foundation of introduction was only one. He said, whenever any Sahabi was introduced, it was said about him that he knows Suratul Baqarah. He knows Surah Ali Imran. Or he participated into the Bay'atul Ridwan. Or he participated into the Battle of Badr. He is Sahibu Sibri Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He knows all the secrets of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is Sahibul Wisada. He carries the pillow of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is Sahibul Siwak. He carried the miswak of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is Sahibul Na'lain li Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He carries the shoes mubarak of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, matter of introduction, or essence of introduction, was only one: that how he was towards Quran, towards Sunnah, towards Allah, towards Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala was one of the multi-millionaire sahabi. To be multi-millionaire, nothing wrong. Don't get me wrong. To be multi-millionaire, nothing wrong. But when it was the time of sahaba, every sahabi was introduced based on Quran and Sunnah. And when we will come back to this track, this whole globe will become Jannat-like. Because that was the introduction of sahaba. Day in and day out. That was their mission. That was their life. That was their oxygen. That is what they were surviving. Quran and Sunnah. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala who was one of the richest men. He was one of the richest men of Makkah. He gave all the riches for the sake of Quran and Sunnah. And when this ummah will come back onto the track which they had lost, the tracks of Sahaba, this whole globe will become Jannat-like. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring us back to Quran and Sunnah. So, the Hadith Sharif, which I was translating, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that last sentence, لا تزال طائفة من أمتي ظاهرين على الحق لا يضرهم من خالفهم حتى يأتي أمر الله. Nabi Sallallahu said there will be always one jamaat, there will be always one group, they will be dominating onto haq, they will live on haq, they will die on haq, they will be very firm, they will be very steadfast, they will hold on to haq no matter what happens. لا يضرهم من خالفهم. People, they will oppose them. People will become their enemy. People will want to switch off their mission. لا يضرهم من خالفهم. But their enmity will not harm them a bit. حتى يأتي أمر الله. Until أمر الله will come. This sentence, I want to relate it to Maulana's work. Nabi Sassam said, لا تزال طائفة من أمتي ظاهرين على الحق. لا يضرهم من خالفهم حتى يأتي أمر الله. There will be always one jamaat. There will be always one jamaat. They will be holding on to haq. And people who opposes them, it will not harm them until the day of Qiyamah. Now when it comes to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are three types of ummah. Ummate ita'at, ummate ijabat, and ummate da'wat. Ummate itaat is standard. You know, they are the measurement. They are the scale. They are the criteria. They are the definition. Till the day of Qiyamah. Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that, you know, the mafhum, even one day is left into the day of Qiyamah. If you will have to invite people, you will have to invite people towards the iman of sahaba, towards the amal of sahaba, towards the yaqeen of sahaba, towards the qualities of sahaba, and that is the criteria. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Aminu kama aman an-nas. O human being, bring iman the way Nas have brought iman. And who is Nas? Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. They are ummate ita'at. So one type of ummat, ummate ita'at. One type of ummat, ummate ijabat. Ummate ita'at, sahaba. You know, kullan wa'adallahu al-husna. Every single one of them, he possesses Jannat in his bag. And that has been declared by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By Quran and Majid. They are Ummat-e-Ita'at. Ummat-e-Ijabat, who recited La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, they obey also and they disobey also. And Ummat-e-Dawat, whole mankind. Whole mankind is Ummat-e-Dawat. They are also Ummat of Rasulullah sallam. They are also Ummat of Rasulullah sallam. No, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us such that we do not neglect any type of ummat. When it comes to ummat-e-ita'at, you know, month of Muharram, let us, you know, renew our aqidah. Let us renew our aqidah. We have firm belief onto two things. That azmat-e-sahaba, it is part and parcel of our iman. And hubbu ahlil bayt, it is also part and parcel of our iman. To honor sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alim ajma'in, that is one of our fundamental belief. And to love family of Rasulullah Sallam, that is also one of our fundamental belief. So that goes with Ummate Itaat. Sahaba, they are the Ummate Itaat.
No one should or will, if he has Iman, if he follows the track of Quran and Sunnah, no one will criticize Sahaba. No one will underestimate Sahaba. No one will betray Sahaba. No one will bring Sahaba onto an examination table if we have safe and sound belief. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us correct aqeedah when it comes to all aqeed. So that one part is ummate itaat. One part is ummate ijabat, and one part is ummate da'wat. You know, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Sahab, alhamdulillah, through his effort, about 400 people came into the fold of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate his ranks. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him basirat. And you know, he is fulfilling one of the farz-e kifaya on behalf of all of us. You know, when it comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, the method and the hikmat Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did utilize to invite people. We were going through Hadith Sharif. When it comes to ummate itaat and ummate ijabat, the method which was utilized by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to bring Muslims more dearer and more nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when it comes to ummate da'wat, there also we have so many examples. We have so many incidents by which we can conclude that here is the method of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam towards ummate da'wat. And here is the method of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam towards ummate ijabat and ummate itaat. Let us do few, if time permits. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam performed Hajjatul Wada. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam performed Hajjatul Wada. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it is being debated or discussed into Bukhari Sharif that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after Ba'asat performed one Hajj, and you know, riwayats are differing. Some riwayats said that Nabi Sassam performed 4 Umrah and 1 Hajj. And when then Muhaddiseen, they discuss about them, then they conclude that in reality there was 3 Umrah and 1 Hajj. And there are opinions. So Nabi Sassam performed 1 Hajj, which is called Hajjatul Wada, after the Ba'asat. When Nabi Sassam performed Hajjatul Wada, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, from Arafat to Muzdalifah and from Muzdalifah to Mina, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is on his conveyance, and both times two different sahabi became radif of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, whoever sat onto the same conveyance behind Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is called radif of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, when someone is riding conveyance and someone is sitting at the back, according to Arabic terminology, that person is called radif. So there are many riwayat, and you know, it opens up a subject for us that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us such that I know my mum less compared to how much I know my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I know my dad less compared to what I know about Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I know about myself less. I know about my children less. I know about anybody else after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala less compared to what I know about Rasulullah. That makes us a good Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, make us such that we have knowledge about Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In every walk of his life, in every issue of his life, you know, something we are heading in our life, some issue has come up into our life. You know, like we have brother Asif in our midst, who is my brother-in-law. He had lost his young wife. His wife passed away. So when someone's wife passes away, immediately he will click that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had lost also his wife in his lifetime. Not once, twice.
If you lose one of your beloved, then, you know, if we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, whatever I am going through, bring to my knowledge some of the relevant situation from the life of my Habib, my Mahbub, Muhammad Rasulullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it possible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it possible. So, you know, radif, that word radif, it opens up a subject that, you know, it becomes like our passion. That how many times people became radif of Nabi Sassam and who became radif. So here we're talking only about Hajjatul Wada. Nabi Sassam left Arafat towards Muzdalifa. Radif was different. Nabi Sassam left from Muzdalifa to Mina. Radif was different. We're talking about what is the method of bringing Ummati itaat and ummati ijabat more nearer and more dearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to riwayat, I think Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala who narrates that when Nabi Sassam left Muzdalifa, behind Nabi Sassam, it was his cousin, Hazrat Qasim ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. He was radif. Now he is radif, and one woman came to ask one mas'ala to Rasulullah Sassam. Now, it's human's nature, it's human's tendency. Qasim ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu started staring at that woman, started looking at that woman. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, with shafqat, love and hikmat, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed his hand mubarak over the chin of Qasim ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu and turned his face away from that woman. You know, bringing ummate ijabat and ummate itaat more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Sassam must have done in such a manner, and his hand mubarak and tasarruf and divine effect of his removing face of Qasim ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu may have resulted in such a result that after that Qasim ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu had never casted his glances onto strange woman. One can safely say. And how can we say that? You know, there is one incident. One young man comes to Nabi Sassam and he says, Ya Rasulullah Sassam, allow me to commit sex. Allow me to commit adultery. Allow me to commit zina. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, look at his shafqat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the required shafqat, hikmat, wisdom, ilm, understanding to Manana Muhammad sahab Damat Barakatuhum and to all of us. Whenever we are dealing with ummate dawat, ummate ijabat, ummate itaat, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us maximum share from the prophetic wisdom. This young man is requesting that allow me to commit adultery. You know, Nabi Sassam, what Nabi Sassam did, Nabi Sassam placed his hand mubarak onto the chest of that young man. And Nabi Sassam made three duas. Allahumma tahhir qalbah, wa hassin farjah, wa ghfir dhanbah. Nabi Sassam made three duas. That, oh Allah, purify his heart. Oh Allah, purify his heart. Oh Allah, give taharat, purity, cleanliness to his heart. And you know, that is what we need. Oh Allah, give us purity of the heart. When we offer salat with the purity of the heart, the value of that salat is different than that salat which is being offered to remove a burden from our head and from our shoulders. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the purity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the mutahharin and mutahhirin. Who is seeking taharat and who is being granted taharat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the both categories. So Nabi Sassam said, Allahumma tahhir qalba. Oh Allah, purify his heart. Wa hassin farja. Nabi Sassam said, oh Allah, preserve his sexuality. Oh Allah, give modesty and chastity to his sexuality. Nabi Sassam said that. Wa ghfir dhanba. And oh Allah, forgive his sins. That young man said that till I die, never ever thought of committing zina came into my heart. Never ever. So, depending on to this riwayat, we can say that this young man, Qasim ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, Nabi Sassam turned his face away from the strange woman. He may have lived long life, and throughout his life,
that desire to cast glance onto strange woman may have never appeared, never came into his heart. Because that is the tasarruf, divine tasarruf and effect for the shafqat and muhabbat and hikmat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did that. Another person was Radif. Radifu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was Hazrat Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu ta'ala. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was about to leave Arafat towards Muzdalifah, Nabi Sassam is waiting. Nabi Sassam is anxiously waiting. And because Nabi Sassam is waiting, whole congregation of Arafat, they were waiting. Nabi Sassam is waiting because of him, everybody is waiting. When Nabi Sassam's waiting ended, they saw it was Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu ta'ala. Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu ta'ala, he came. And when he joined, he became Radif. He sat at the back of Nabi Sassam. That's when they set the journey off. One extra lesson. This has been narrated into the Sirah Riwayat. And you know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the pride. May Allah protect us from the arrogance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us such that we never ever look down onto anybody. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us such that we do not belittle anybody. We shouldn't betray anybody. We shouldn't take anybody with haqarat, with betrayal. Hazrat Amirul Mu'mineen Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala who narrates that when that incident happened, that whole congregation is waiting for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said when Usama radiallahu ta'ala who came, he said there was few brothers, they were standing next to me and they were from Yemen. Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, when they saw Usama radiallahu ta'ala, they pass remarks. And it was out of arrogance, out of pride. That for him, we all were made to wait. For this young little boy, we had to wait for so long. The whole congregation of Arafat, we were waiting just because of him. You know, when they were mentioning him, they were looking down onto him. Umar radiallahu ta'ala who narrates that when one of the biggest liar, Musaylama al-Kadhab, when he made the claim of prophethood, these people left Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they joined Musaylama al-Kadhab. Just because of that pride and arrogance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So Usama was Radif from Arafat to Muzdalifah. The another incident for the Ummat-e-Itaat and Ummat-e-Ijabat was that, you know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to receive individuals and delegations also. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes Maulana Muhammad sahab such a great da'i that to accept Islam, people come in big numbers also, as delegations also, individually also, collectively also. And he fulfills that sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to receive people individually also. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to receive people in a big number. Delegation used to come. Adi bin Hatim, he was sent. I was going to talk about Wafde Bani Abdul Qais. But it did remind me of Adi bin Hatim. He came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he just came to observe. He was on run. When they saw that Makkah Mukarrama became conquered, territory of Islam is expanding, and Adi was one of the chief supreme leader of his tribe. So he was feeling that if I have to accept Islam, that means I have to surrender to somebody. I have to accept the leadership of somebody. So he was on run. So somebody advised him that Adi, instead of running, just go and see Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just go and see Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You will come to know that what is your impression, it's totally wrong. Adi radiallahu ta'ala said, I came to Madinah Munawwara, and as soon as I met Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, to welcome me, to entertain me, to treat me as a guest, as an honorable visitor, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, let's go to my house.
join me. Both of them are going. And one person came. On the way, he stopped Rasulullah Sassam and he was complaining of poverty. Nabi Sassam said some few polite, kind, sweet words and moved on. So Adi radiallahu ta'ala, now he's comparing. You know, he was under the impression that Muhammad Sassam is a leader, I am also a leader. He follows a religion, I am also Christian. He is, you know, having leadership into his denomination, into his religion. I also have that leadership into my denomination. So there is no difference between me and him. That's what was his impression. But when he saw that first person met, now his impression is changing. They move further. When another person came and he made complaint to Nabi Sassam that, you know, our caravans, they come through this route and there are so many robbers and looters. So Nabi Sassam said something about it. And Nabi Sassam moved on. Adi radiallahu ta'ala said, when we came into the house of Nabi Sassam offered me pillow. You know, that's why it is sunnah that someone comes as a visitor, we offer them pillow, we offer them milk, we offer them perfume. From the sunans of Rasulullah. So Nabi Sassam offered. And when they started discussing, so Nabi Sassam said, Adi, you belong to this denomination. So Adi was shocked. Then Nabi Sassam said that in your denomination, this is the rule, but you don't follow that rule. Adi was shocked again that he has all the knowledge about me. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that, do you know that route from Banu Tayh to Makkah Mukarrama? Adi, time will come that a woman will travel from that far to Makkah Mukarrama, wearing gold from head to toe, and there will be total safety and peace, and no one will be there to interfere. There will be no robber, no looters. So Adi radiallahu ta'ala says into his heart that that route, you know, robbers of my tribe, looters of my tribe, their earning, their total source of income is robbery. What Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying that? Adi radiallahu ta'ala said further that, oh Adi, you know, what will happen to you? That one day, the empires, you know, Roman Empire, and them, they will fall under the feet of my companions and my Sahaba. Adi radiallahu ta'ala who said, that Nabi Sassam said after that, that you know, time will come, that person will come out with the piece of gold to look for somebody who will be needy of zakat, and he will find nobody. Adi radiallahu ta'ala, you know, narrating this lengthy riwayat, he said that in my lifetime, I saw women traveling from that distance to Makkah Mukarrama with total amnesty, safety, peace, and no problems. Adi radiallahu ta'ala said, Nabi Sassam prophesies about the empire. He said, to bring the treasure of that empire, I was one of them. And he used to say out of yaqeen, out of full conviction, out of full iman, he used to say that whether Adi lives or not, time will come that Muslim will come out with the piece of gold to give it as a charity and zakat, he will find nobody to accept it. That is the Adi radiallahu ta'ala. That is the Adi radiallahu ta'ala. I wanted to mention about Wafde Banu Abdul Qais. They came as a big delegation to accept Islam. When they came, their Amir was very good person, very civilized amongst the whole group, amongst the whole caravan. People came, you know, it was an excitement to see Rasulullah Sassam. And you know, Nabi Sassam said into Hadith Sharifa that, you know, we must have that desire born in our heart that, oh Allah, one day enable us to see that beautiful face Mubarak of Nabi Sassam in our dream. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, give us that deadly dream to see and sight Nabi Sassam. You know, our brother Asif's wife passed away. We were sharing that, you know, when believer goes into the grave, as soon as that believer goes into the grave, the beginning is like an Eid. Beginning is like an Eid, Iqbal. Iqbal of Pakistan. I always say, to the people of Pakistan that if there was nothing into Pakistan beside Iqbal, they could boast over many countries because Iqbal was such. Iqbal was such. So Iqbal used to say that anybody else can think that death is end of the life, but for a believer, it is the first breaking of dawn for eternity. When person dies, that is the beginning of eternal life. That is the beginning of eternal life. As soon as that person lands into the grave, and his eternity begins with Eid, Eid celebration. How? Because Nabi Sassam is being shown to that person. And to see Nabi Sassam, it is Eid beyond Eid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that possible. With Iman, with love, with ishq, and with muhabbat. So excitement is natural. So whole delegation, they didn't worry about their camels, their conveyances, their rides. They didn't worry about their belongings. They just left and they ran towards Masjid-e-Nabawi. And their Amir, he parked his camel. Manana, sometime police comes to our Masjid, especially when it comes to Ramadan. And we have a car parking problem. So I always quote this incident. That from camel parking to car parking, everything is being taught by Nabi Sassam. From camel parking to car parking. There Amir, he came, he tied his camel properly, accordingly. He left his belonging accordingly. He took a bath, he adorned himself, and he took his time. And then he came to Nabi Sassam. When he came to Nabi Sassam said, "Inna fika khaslataini yuhibbuhumullah." You have two habits. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them. You have two habits, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them. So you know, that Amir of Wafd-e Abdul Qais, he was a very intelligent person. He did an ihsan onto us. And from here we come to know that whatever quality any sahabi possessed, they will fall one of the two categories. Either they are God-gifted qualities or they are self-earned qualities. This Amir, he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether I am born onto these two qualities or whether I have made an effort to earn these two qualities. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, you were born onto these two qualities. And those two qualities, al-hilmu wal-anatu. You have forbearance and you have anat. Anat, you know, everything must be kept in sequence, in order, with discipline. The way, the place, you know, the car parking bay, you are supposed to park your car in such a manner that you do not cause disturbance to anybody else. If you do that, then you are having the quality of al-anat. So that sahabi had, you know, left his camel accordingly. He had parked his camel accordingly. And from there we learn how to park our cars. And that is also being taught by Nabi Sassam. So he asked that whether these two qualities, I am born with them or I have earned. Nabi Sassam said, no, you have born with them. So what do we learn? If you are not born with some good qualities, you can make some effort and gradually you can inculcate that quality into yourself. So these are, you know, few examples of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam paying attention towards ummate ijabat and ummate itaat. Now when it comes to ummate da'wat, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made an announcement that ya'tikum ikramatu mu'minan fala tasubbu abahu fa inna sabbal mayyiti la tablughuhu wa yu'dhi al-hayy. Ikrama, the way Adi was made tashkil that you go and see Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ikrama bin Abi Jahal, he was asked by his own wife, that he was also on run. He was asked by his own wife, and his wife said that, no, come to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I had requested for an amnesty, so he had pardoned you. You come to him, you see him. If you like it, accept his mission, accept his da'wat. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he comes, and you know, we all know who is Abu Jahl. What was his mission? How he troubled Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How many times he hurt Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before Ikrama also was, you know, very, very heavily onto that mission against Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Ikrama is coming. Nabi Sasa made an announcement that Ikrama is coming. So please do not talk bad about his father. Because his father is dead, Abu Jahl. And you're talking bad about his father will not reach to him. And it will hurt him. It will hurt him. So, you know, these types of method Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did utilize. For those who were from the Ummate Dawat. And then they became from the Ummate Ijabat. So, and you know, all these three, what you call, types of Ummat. After Sahaba, two types of Ummat will continue. Ummate Ijabat and Ummate Dawat. Sahaba, they are Ummate Itaat. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Antum tutimmunaha thamanina soffan. Wa antum atammuha wa aktharuha. When it comes to describe this ummat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that from Adam Alayhi Salatu Wasalam till the day of Qiyamah, approximately there will be 120 sufuf. Approximately there will be 120 sufuf of mankind, and my ummat, they will form 80 sufuf. 80 lines. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you will complete and you will be majority of those sufuf. So ummate itaat, ummate ijabat, and ummate da'wat. Now, Mawlana Damat Barakatuhum, he is focusing onto ummate da'wat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him all the required wisdom, shafqat, muhabbat, method, understanding of the da'wat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam towards all these different categories, whether they are from the ummate ijabat or whether they are from the ummate da'wat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the path of Islam easy for every individual of mankind. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina maqlana Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina maqlana Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. Allah hamare tamam gunahon ko maaf farma. تمام سیئات کو حسنات سے بدل دے. اللہ ہمیں اپنی معرفت عطا فرما, اپنی محبت عطا فرما, اپنا تعلق خاص عطا فرما. ہمیں اور ہماری قیامت تک کی نسلوں کو مکمل توحید, مکمل ایمان, مکمل اخلاص, مکمل اتباع سنت نصیب فرما. ہمیں اور ہماری قیامت تک کی نسلوں کو ہر قسم کے, ہر دور کے شرک سے, کفر سے, نفاق سے, بدعات سے اللہ مکمل حفاظت عطا فرما. اللہ ہمیں قرآن و سنت کا خزانہ عطا فرما. قرآن و سنت کے ایک ایک حرف کو اس کے تمام خزانوں کے ساتھ ہمیں اور ہماری قیامت تک کی نسلوں کو عطا فرما. کہ اللہ ہمارے مرحومین کی بال بال مغفرت فرما. اللہ ہماری مرحومہ فاطمہ آصف حافظی اور ان کی چھوٹی سی ننی منی بیٹی مریم حافظی, کہ اللہ ان کو اعلیٰ علیین میں نسبت اولیاء صدیقین کا منتہا درجہ عطا فرما. ان کو بھی اور امت کے تمام مرحوموں کو نسبت اولیاء صدیقین کا منتہا درجہ عطا فرما. یا اللہ ہم میں سے, یا اللہ جو بھی پریشان حال ہو ان کی پریشانیوں کو خوشیوں سے بدل دے. یا اللہ بے اولاد کو صدیقی صفات والی اولاد عافیت قوت صحت کے ساتھ عطا فرما. نافرمان اولاد کو فرما بردار بنا دے. یا اللہ پریشان حالوں کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما. مقروض کو قروض سے ادائیگی کے اسباب عطا فرما. بے نکاح کو نیک خوشی بھرے نکاح کے اسباب عطا فرما. اللہ پوری امت مظلوم ہے, امت کی مظلومیت کا خاتمہ فرما. مسجد اقصیٰ کو آزادی عطا فرما. حرمین شریفین کی مکمل حفاظت فرما. یا اللہ دونوں حرموں کو, یا اللہ ان کی عظمتوں اور تقدس میں اور اپنی طرف سے اضافہ عطا فرما. یا اللہ ہر حرم کی زیارت, یا اللہ ہمیں محبت, معرفت اور دیوانگی کے ساتھ نصیب فرما. یا اللہ پوری امت کی مظلومیت کا خاتمہ فرما. یا اللہ امت دعوت اور قرآن و سنت کے درمیان میں راستہ ہموار فرما. یا اللہ یہاں سے مولانا محمد صاحب سندھی دامت برکاتہم کے ذریعے سے دعوت کا جو کام چل پڑا ہے, یا اللہ اس کو استقامت اور پائیداری عطا فرما, قبول خاص عطا فرما. یا اللہ ہر قلب پر, یا اللہ اور ہر دروازے پر اللہ کی دستک دینے کی انہیں اور ہم سب کو بصیرت, توفیق, طاقت اور ہمت عطا فرما. یا اللہ آپ کے محبوب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے جتنی خیر مانگی ہو ہمیں اور ہماری قیامت تک کی نسلوں کو عطا فرما. جن شرور سے وہ پناہ مانگتے رہے ہمیں اور ہماری قیامت تک کی نسلوں کو پناہ نصیب فرما. اپنا بنا لے مولا, ہم سب کو اپنا بنا لے, ہمیں اور ہماری قیامت تک کی نسلوں کو اپنا بنا لے. صلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقہ سیدنا و حبیبنا مقلانا محمد وعلی آلہ و اصحابہ اجمعین برحمتہ.